Yeah, it is. It's a conspiracy. This biopharmaceutical complex now has complete control. Nine out of our last 10 FDA commissioners got their jobs, their next jobs with big pharma or, entities in this biopharmaceutical complex. We have a situation where Ed Dowd's published the book on all the excess mortality, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons calling for the vaccines to come off the market, same as the World Council for Health, Florida Surgeon General Joe Lodapo. So the point I was making is we have two major presidential candidates that are willfully blind to a massive loss of American lives, and they're focused on other things. And Americans are steaming mad.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Buckle up, this is a very, very important interview. That was the one and only Dr. Peter McCullough, and he's been speaking out against this mRNA vax product, which I call a bioweapon, since 2020 when it rolled out, since before it rolled out, actually. And yes, Peter is wearing his wellness company white coat, and believe me, I hit that topic squarely on the nose in this one as well, just for the trolls. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. If you keep your money in a bank, listen up, your savings are at risk. A good portion of the banking system is under extreme stress, and some have actually collapsed. The dangers are clearer than ever. Car loans are defaulting. Credit card debt is ballooning to an all-time high. Commercial real estate is collapsing. But there is a safe and easy way to protect your financial future: gold. Now, there are no guarantees of any kind, and investing in anything is always a risk, but gold is outside the government's reach and safe from economic policies like trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. In fact, this government is adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Gold allows you to lock in today's value in the face of tomorrow's uncertainty. Don't wait for the next headline, crash, or bank run to act. Contact Noble Gold Investments today and safeguard your tomorrow. As a bonus, they'll give you a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin as a thank you for opening a qualified account. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com to claim your gold coin or call them at 877-646-5347. The link is below. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. It's absolutely fantastic to have you back. Guys, I've got a real truth teller on the line. This man has been ahead of the curve. In fact, he was calling out the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine as early as 2020 when he did an op-ed in The Hill. And the title of that was "The Great Gamble of the COVID-19 Vaccine Development Program." He's still out ahead of all of the liars and mockingbirds. He's got 1 million followers on Twitter. He's an esteemed cardiologist. Dr. Peter McCullough joins us. Doc, how are you, sir?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. I have a lot to ask you, but you know what? Since you're wearing that lab coat, the wellness company, let me just address something right out of the gate. I've had doctors at the wellness company on my show, doctors like Jim Thorpe, who was fired for telling his pregnant patients the truth about the potential dangers and effects of the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, and he was fired for merely giving his patients informed consent. He landed at the wellness company. It's a company I support. I'm an affiliate. And frankly, y'all are taking hits from some trolls. And why don't you address the wellness company and what you make of this corporation that is standing for health and does want people to have access to real doctors who actually care about health during the next pandemic, which, by the way, they're fear-mongering about. Disease X is coming. More on that in just a second. Peter, your thoughts on TWC?
You have described it well. The wellness company has been in business now coming up on 2 years. It's an alternative healthcare system. Health and education materials, nutraceuticals and supplements, doctors by telemedicine, community dentistry, its own pharmacy, and it's very affordable. Doctors' visits are, less than $60. Some of the best-in-class nutraceuticals and supplements, and emergency kits that help people manage problems at home, avoiding urgent care or the ER. I'm the chief scientific officer of the company. I've been with them from the very beginning. And boy, the company has grown by leaps and bounds. It's providing great service in the United States, but all over the world, has plans for expansion. Many have a wellness company membership in addition to their healthcare insurance because they want that backup. They don't want to get stuck in the ER over the weekend for some problem. And then many are now fully getting their health care through what's called One Wellness. That's a program where there's a monthly fee. It's less than $200. It includes everything. So, that is for, I think Wellness Company is a must have for people without health insurance.
Well, look, I bring it up not because I care to get down and dirty with the trolls, but I stand with y'all because I know what happened to Dr. James Thorpe, and he landed at the Wellness Company. Again, he was fired for telling the truth to his patients about the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, the same truth you've been screaming about since, what, August of 2020 with that op-ed. And let's get this thing straight, too. In Canada, where the trolls mainly are attacking the Wellness Company, Justin Castro Trudeau and his government are openly committing democide against Canadians. They are paying for the assisted suicide of people with autism, people who are disabled, people who are poor. They're more than happy to help kill those people. Meanwhile, the trolls ignore all of that democide going on in Canada and want to focus on the Wellness Company. Let me be clear. The Wellness Company, correct me if I'm wrong, the one company that stands against Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset protocols.
It's true. Wellness Company is the only corporate entity standing against what we call the biopharmaceutical complex. This complex I outlined in my book, Courage to Face COVID-19, does include the World Economic Forum, but the Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust, Rockefeller Foundation, Gavi, CEPI, Unitaid, the big Western nations are all part of this complex now, which is spinning out of control. So the Wellness Company has not had any credible attacks, but it does make you wonder, those who are spending time and effort trying to attack what we've constructively done at the Wellness Company, it makes you wonder, are they really just kind of cheap operatives for the biopharmaceutical complex?
Well, I think it's a fair question because so many aspersions have been cast against all y'all working at the Wellness Company. And those of us who are merely affiliates getting what, 15% commission when somebody buys your fantastic products? That's a standard affiliate commission, guys. Nobody's getting rich. I'm just sick of the trolls. And let me just show y'all one thing. This man, Dr. Peter McCullough, has pinned to the top of his Twitter, no rationale for continued mass COVID-19 vaccinations. So now let's talk. Oh, and by the way, here's his op-ed from 2020, 4 years ago, about the great gamble and really the suicide mission of the COVID-19 vaccine development program. But I want to talk about a recent win. But then, Doc, I want your thoughts on this. So I've been lamenting the fact that Harvard, I'm sure you're well aware of what Harvard is. It's supposed to be an institution of higher learning. Well, they were requiring that their students and faculty get the bioweapon even still this year. And they just relented, updated March 5th, 2024. Harvard University Health Services, I put health in quotes, will no longer require students to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. But we strongly recommend that all members of blah, 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 go get your boosters. Okay, that's a win. But explain this to me, Doc. How is it that 48 colleges nationwide are still requiring this bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine?
No one can explain it. No dean will stand behind it. We were over 1,000 colleges and universities at one point in time that were mandating the products. Now, I don't use the word that you're using. I use the term biological threat because in the case of the American Board of Internal Medicine has against me, they're making a big deal out of the word bioweapon. And if you look on almost all the government websites, like National Security Administration as an example, they say that SARS-CoV-2 in the vaccines are not bioweapons. Now, why do they say that? Why do they specifically go out of their way to say it? It just raises the thought. So I use the term biological threat, and then I use the term countermeasures, that the vaccines are considered covered countermeasures under the PREP Act. So I'm a little bit wary of using that term. I hope you don't put it on the banner of this show, because I just don't want to get deeper in trouble with the American Board of Internal Medicine. But it's clear that the virus and the vaccines have injured populations.
Okay, and that's fair. Look, my words, not yours. You're the esteemed doctor. I am a journalist. I got a journalism degree from the University of Wisconsin back in the day, and I just happened to fall into this as a career when basically I was let out of Target Corporation Marketing Department for telling the truth to all sorts of my friends, neighbors, and colleagues about what happened with 9/11 and that being a false flag operation. So I really cut my teeth in the truth space. But you too now are wide awake, and I appreciate you very much for your time today. This is a new study you sent out to your email chain. COVID-19 vaccines, a predictor of cardiovascular injury for COVID-19 hospitalized patients aged 60 and under. Now, as a cardiologist, you know a thing or two about myocarditis, pericarditis, and let me just share a story with you. A 64-year-old close friend of our family, a very wealthy man, a maverick, in fact, died suddenly in his sleep on the evening of November 13th, 2023. So just a few months ago, he died suddenly in a big, beautiful home he built for his future grandkids. He died alone in that house because he was divorced. He had always been afraid he would have a heart attack. He even had defibrillators in the home, three of them, but he died alone suddenly with no expectation of death. Now, here's the thing. The man did take the original Pfizer vaccine, and we found out after his death, three boosters. So people die suddenly all over the planet, sir. So I will continue to call it a bioweapon. You can call it what you want, but we know it's killing people, don't we?
Yeah, and this study from Italy is just another piece of evidence. Now, there were three papers. Raw, Kramer, and Mathudius were first authors, showing that we definitely don't want to get COVID first and then take the vaccine, because you know it's too late to take a vaccine once you've had COVID, that there's going to be increased side effects, yet tons of people did it. This is showing the reverse, that if you take the vaccine, and of course the vaccines don't work, and people go ahead and get COVID and they're hospitalized, watch out. Now there's very high risks of heart attack, cardiovascular events. That's what this study is showing, because the body is loaded with the spike protein. The spike protein is the protein produced from the genetic code of Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, AstraZeneca. Once the genetic code is installed in the body, unlimited amounts of spike protein are produced. They go everywhere in the body. They go into heart muscle, into the blood vessel walls. They cause heart damage, blood clots, acceleration of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. So what we're looking at here, it's a real disaster to take the vaccine and then have it fail and get COVID.
Well, you sent another study too, and I just think it supports this idea that I've heard that there are some 700 or 770 different vector points of attack that this thing can have on the human body. Here's a study that reveals the COVID-19 immunization of roughly 45 million people in Korea identified with increased risk of encephalitis. Okay, you're a cardiologist and I'm no brain doctor, but encephalitis isn't good, is it?
No, it's brain inflammation. And countless numbers of studies have shown the vaccines cause seizures and epilepsy, headaches, hearing loss, vision loss, small blood clots that are visible in the retinal arteries and retinal veins, paralysis through a process called Guillain-Barré syndrome, small fiber neuropathy, transverse myelitis. It's a disaster. The vaccines are a disaster for the neurologic system.
One more study to share here, and I think we're really on point. Observational studies touting COVID-19 vax efficacy, a statistical illusion due to rampant misclassification bias. All right, I want to ask you something. You know it's dangerous. I know it's dangerous. Our listeners know it's dangerous. Okay, Ed Dowd wrote a book about it, died suddenly. It seems that everybody dialed in and thinking and who is intellectually honest knows this is dangerous. What are the statistical illusions they're using to try to parrot this thing as being safe and effective?
Well, this has to do with statistical illusions on efficacy. Do you remember when President Biden came out in May of 2021, and so did everybody else, including Ron DeSantis, Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, and they all said that we had a crisis of the unvaccinated. Remember that?
100%, yeah.
And what that was all about is what Dr. Norman Fenton is bringing out in this paper. It was misclassification bias. So the hospital electronic medical records assume people are unvaccinated. And when they come in, if they don't ask for the vaccine card or ask the patient or the patient make the case and they actually change that toggle button over to vaccinated, they're assumed to be unvaccinated. And what he found out is tons of vaccinated people were counted as unvaccinated in these studies, making it seem like it was a crisis of the unvaccinated. Most of the studies don't link to the actual immunization cards. We know the vaccines only last 2 or 3 months. So someone taking a vaccine 2 years ago, that doesn't count anymore. So there was massive misclassification bias, suggesting that the vaccines reduced the risk of hospitalization and death. We knew it couldn't be true because the randomized trials never showed a reduction in hospitalizations and deaths. The consent form doesn't say the vaccine reduces hospitalization and death. So it's an illusion when people say that the COVID vaccines reduce the severity of illness, or it's an illusion when they say the vaccine has saved lives.
I'm going to put quotes around this next word, but quote, President Biden and his administration continue to push this thing on children if they could. And I'm going to quote you loosely, and then you tell me exactly what you meant by this. Quote, these are large losses of life. This is greater than the Civil War. This is greater than our World War II losses. And yet they're talking about other things, end quote. What did you mean specifically? How many people, in your view, how many Americans have been damaged or killed by this thing?
You're quoting from my testimony in the Arizona Senate, so it's on the record. I'm on a standing committee there for the Novel Southwest Coronavirus Investigative Committee. Our CDC is reporting to us that 18,500 Americans have died after the COVID-19 vaccine. It's on the CDC vaccine event reporting system. You can go to the OpenVAERS overlay and take a look at it. That's what our CDC is verifying. Now, of that 18,500, 1,150 die on the same day they take the shot, right in the vaccine center sometimes. Another 1,200 die the next day. So it's very proximate to the shot. We know that now the CDC data are underreported about 30-1, because if someone dies at home, like the case you mentioned, that's not going to be reported to the CDC. Someone would have to find the vaccine card and report it. It's simply not going to get reported. So it's underreporting is 30-1, 30 times 18,500. We're looking at 550,000 Americans have died after COVID-19 vaccination. This has been widely messaged out in the media. You know, I have more media time than Biden or Trump. They watch me. We know that they know. We have a situation where Ed Dowd's published the book on all the excess mortality. Association of American Physicians and Surgeons calling for the vaccines to come off the market, same as the World Council for Health, Florida Surgeon General Joe Lodapo. So the point I was making is we have two major presidential candidates that are willfully blind to a massive loss of American lives, and they're focused on other things, and Americans are steaming mad.
Yeah, and folks are having a hard time understanding why Trump continues to want to take credit for this technology and these vaccines. It's really confounding. And yes, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joe Lodapo. And why are they still on the market then? I mean, we can only conclude that this is in part democide, right? Because the governments are pushing it along with the mainstream mockingbird horror media. I'm just a lowly citizen journalist out here on the interwebs. I was kicked off of YouTube for telling the truth about so many things in October 2020. So they took that away, about 1 million subs at the time. And here I sit still trying to tell the truth. The mockingbird mainstream media, people like Rachel Maddow, people like Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper gets $12 million a year to gaslight the American people. We're also told, according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., allegedly he got payola from Pfizer. What are we left to conclude at this point, Doc? To me, this is democide. It's a conspiracy by definition.
Yeah, it is. It's a conspiracy. This biopharmaceutical complex now has complete control. 9 out of our last 10 FDA commissioners got their jobs, their next jobs with big pharma or, you know, entities in this biopharmaceutical complex. So the FDA right now and the CDC are out advertising Pfizer and Moderna. It's interesting. They advertise Pfizer and Moderna, but they never mention Novavax. Another product on the market, not a genetic product, because Pfizer and Moderna have a contract with Weber Shandwick, the PR company, and they have an installed marketing unit in the CDC. The CDC pays Weber Shandwick to be marketed on these vaccines.
So, but you've called for the end of these vaccines. In fact, 2 years ago, the World Council for Health has called for the end of these. They're not safe for human use. Again, the Association of American Surgeons.
France or pressure through the House or the Senate on HHS to say, listen, the vaccines aren't safe for human use. I've made the call in the U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, European Parliament, British Parliament, the Brazilian Chamber, all over the world. I'm a doctor. I see patients every day. I see patients who's had vaccine complications. Sadly, some have died of the vaccine. I fill out these reports. I'm telling you, I'm the most expert person that can opine on this. They're simply not safe for human use.
Well, I know that, and you know that, and here's the problem. The FDA knew that too. Okay, this slide goes back to about the date that you became the whistleblower you did with that op-ed piece in The Hill. And these are just some of the known effects of this thing, which I call a bioweapon. And the FDA voted unanimously to approve it. So the FDA, the CDC, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, all have blood on their hands, as does Bill Gates, as does Dr. Fauci, as does, frankly, Donald J. Trump. And I'm just sick and tired of it. So I guess before we move on, your thoughts on that, the revolving door at the FDA. These people have blood on their hands, do they not?
Well, that slide's very important. That's October of 2020. That's before the vaccine trials are done. That's before the vaccines are FDA EUA approved. So what you're pointing out is the FDA knew this was going to happen. Guillain-Barré syndrome, myocarditis, paralysis, blood clots. They knew this was going to happen ahead of time. That this was, in a sense, foretold. It was premeditated. Now, if you look at the consent form today, Pfizer and Moderna actually are fully FDA approved. There, in terms of side effects or adverse events, there's no mention of death in the package insert for Pfizer or Moderna.
Well, you remember when this thing first rolled out and some truth tellers, maybe nurses, et cetera, were pulling out those inserts. And they were devoid of any information at all. They were intentionally left blank. How in the world does one have informed consent when the insert that should warn you about potential side effects is left blank? And then if you have a good doctor like Dr. James Thorpe, who had worked at that Texas hospital for some 30 years as a superstar, he was fired. He was fired for giving his pregnant patients informed consent. I mean, we jumped the shark. What country is this, Doc?
This happened all over the world. And I can tell you, I'm certainly deeply concerned from the very beginning. We never had informed consent. The blank package insert was basically a moniker for what was going to happen. People were blindsided with this. They were told to take the vaccine. They didn't know what was in it. People started dying in large numbers January of 2021. Now we actually have fully approved products. But they're fully approved off of animal data only. The last sets of boosters were animal data only, and there's no mention of death as a side effect. So we still don't have full informed consent. Our CDC is now advocating that healthy people over 65 start taking their ninth shot, immunocompromised 12 shots. People should start asking themselves, what vaccine would we ever take nine shots for? For a healthy person, something is really wrong. For a healthy person, something is really wrong.
Something's very, very wrong. And let me ask you this, two more questions before we move on to what's coming next. What is in these vaccines? Okay, we followed the work of La Quinta Columna and Mike Adams and so many other great researchers. What is in these things that you found? I mean, we've heard rumors that graphene oxide is in these, part of the track and trace system. We've heard that nanotech is in these, of course, mRNA experimental vaccines that they are. What have you guys found to be in these, if anything at all? Anything conclusive you can share with us?
The vaccines have never been inspected by any regulatory agency where they took the cap off the bottle and examine how much messenger RNA, what else is in there. They've only been inspected for visible impurities. And that was an FDA inspection of Catalent that I saw, one of the biodefense contractors. I mean, one of the problems is Pfizer and Moderna, they don't make their own products. Neither does AstraZeneca or Janssen. They're made by biodefense contractors that don't. They're not traditional pharmaceutical companies. So no one really knows what's in there. Now, four independent labs did get some vials. They cracked them open. And they found alarming concentrations and sizes of DNA fragments, this DNA process related impurities or contaminants that look like, some of them look like they could promote cancer. The SV40 fragments, for instance, are very worrisome for cancer, but we simply don't know what's in there. We know they're not the same. About a third of people who take the shots, nothing happens at all, not even a sore arm. Just under two thirds have some minor side effects. And it's somewhere between 5 and 10%. It's really bad. People go to the hospital, ER, myocarditis, blood clots, encephalitis. So we're really worried about 5 to 10% of the country acutely. Now, long term, I testified in Congress in January of 2024. The FDA says we have 5 to 15 years of worry and observation after the last shot. That those are genetic technologies, and that's what we should be looking at, 5 to 15 years.
Oh, my God. So if they pulled the vax today, which they're not going to do, they're not going to do it. They're going to keep pushing. They're developing new ones as we speak. But if they pulled it today, we would still have 5 to 15 years of ripple effects and repercussions, huh?
That's correct.
Jesus, God help us. Okay, well, let me ask you about the blood supply. Are you concerned about the blood supply? Are you concerned about patients that might have to go to the hospital, non-vax patients who have to go to the hospital, get a serious surgery, and get a transfusion? What are your concerns about the blood supply in this country?
I was on the original letter that wrote the American Red Cross and Carter Blood Center, American Association of Clinical Blood Bank, and we were concerned that a freshly vaccinated person could donate blood, potentially contribute messenger RNA and spike protein. Now we know messenger RNA is circulatory at least for a month, spike protein at least for 6 months in studies. Finally, after years of concern, the American Red Cross now has a question if someone's taken a vaccine. They're still not precluding somebody from donating, and when asked, they said it's simply to try to encourage people not to donate during an acute vaccine reaction. We don't know if messenger RNA persists in donated blood or the filtering and cooling preservative process or the spike protein. A recent paper from Japan came out, it's really gotten a lot of viewership, is saying, listen, at least the blood supply should be tested. Now, fortunately, blood only lasts 120 days on the shelf, that very few people have taken the vaccines over the last few years, fewer than 15%. So I think it's likely that the blood supply largely is safe, but the concerns still exist. And I think I'd point you to TrialSite News. They summarized the recent Japanese paper. We should do what Switzerland's doing. Switzerland at least allows people to ask for unvaccinated blood.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that, I guess, not anecdotal evidence, but the evidence that maybe the blood supply over time will become self-improving because this thing over time is no longer in the blood. That's great news. But I did hear a TikTok, or it was on Twitter, somebody called, and I can't remember if it was the local blood bank, Red Cross, or their hospital, but they were asking on behalf of their patients, can my patient, if this surgery is necessary, can you guarantee they will get unvaxxed blood? The answer was no.
No, I told you, in the United States, that's not done. The only place that I'm aware of that you can do that is Switzerland.
God help us. Okay, last question before we move on to what's coming next. Are messenger RNA vaccines safe? Can they be made safe? It's my understanding that prior to the rollout of these experimental use authorization vaccines, there has never been a safe and effective mRNA vaccine. And now we're hearing they want to put this technology in everything. Is it safe? Can it be safe?
Now, messenger RNA has been in development since 1985. It's never been made to be safe for human use, despite all the investment in it. The COVID-19 vaccines were a disaster. Now, a paper by Crossan and colleagues, Harvard, shows that the vaccine gets stuck in the heart. Messenger RNA is physically in the heart. Schreckenberg and colleagues showed that messenger RNA physically makes the heart muscles sick. When you put it, you know, physically put it on the heart muscle cells, they get sick in terms of conduction, contraction. What happens is messenger RNA, we can't shut it off. It gets in the cell, it has toxicities. Human body has difficulties getting rid of it. So messenger RNA almost certainly would take a relatively benign flu shot and make it a very dangerous shot. The same would be true for all the conventional vaccines. Recently, Moderna halted development of their Epstein-Barr virus messenger RNA vaccine because of myocarditis. So I'd imagine every messenger RNA vaccine is going to have toxicity. I think the entire platform should be halted. It's just not working out for vaccines.
So if you had a colleague, somebody you respected, who hadn't yet been red-pilled, but over time, this person, let's say it was a doctor, she's really quietly sussing this out, doing her own research, and she comes to you and she respects you and you know her, you respect her. She says, Dr. McCullough, I can only conclude at this point because of all the things we've talked about, because of the VAERS reporting database, the dying suddenly, the ignoring of all of this by the mainstream mockingbird horror media, the CDC, the FDA, et cetera, I can only conclude, she tells you, that this is part of a eugenics plan. This must be part of a depopulation plan. What would you say to her?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't possibly ascribe motive. I can simply describe that the first wave of injury to the population was the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It tended to prey upon the elderly and the frail, those with obesity and diabetes. And now this second wave, which is the vaccines, initially they did hit the elderly in nursing homes with vaccine deaths. And that was carefully evaluated by McLachlan and colleagues, showed the senior citizens did not tolerate these vaccines at all. And so there were probably untold losses in nursing homes due to the vaccine. Now, the nursing home population is only 2.7 million. The travesty in all of this is that the vaccines were broadly applied in young people who didn't need them at all. And in fact, you haven't seen a senior citizen on a vaccine commercial in a long time. It's a constant push to young people, even down to babies 6 months old. So when we look at the vaccine side effects, they actually tend to accrue in younger people, working age people. These are the people that we need to run the world. They're the ones that are employed. They have all the skills. So none of this makes any sense. Clearly, the world's being injured greatly. The human population is being damaged. The vaccine should be pulled off the market.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. These things should have been pulled off the market yesterday. They should have never been approved at all, as you know. And as somebody who just had to help my mom get into assisted living, and my brother and I are paying for that because she's not really prepared as well as she should have been for her retirement, it just really makes me sad that young people are being affected by this thing, because there's so many elderly people that need young people to help them in their elder years. And now this young population of vibrant people is being attacked by our own government, by the Mockingbird mainstream media, and by Big Pharma. And I, for one, am just sick to death of it. And I want to talk about what's coming next. So let me just play this clip featuring you, Dr. Peter McCullough. This was closing remarks at the Novel Coronavirus Southwestern Intergovernmental Committee in the Arizona Senate. And it's very important about what's coming next, because as you've stated right here, we can't let this happen again.
This can never happen again. We're told disease X is coming, another pandemic. Anthony Fauci, our former NIAID director, who's still very active and on committees at the WHO, is saying this is going to happen. Tedros, who's in charge of the WHO, says it's going to happen. The World Economic Forum had major sessions on disease X. And then CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, that the World Economic Forum and the Gates Foundation founded, has a major white paper on disease X. They say it's gonna happen. They're gonna have another pandemic, and they've already said it's gonna be 20 times more deadly than COVID.
We'll pause it right there. Doc, I'm coming back to you. I have played clips from mainstream media in the UK going to the bioweapons lab in the UK where they are working on an antidote, a vaccine for disease X. Now, you tell me how that's possible. How do they already know what disease X is in order to manufacture a vaccine? Hello?
It's because disease X almost certainly will come out of a bio lab. It's going to be basically a designer virus, bacteria, or fungi, probably a virus. Most experts believe this, just like COVID-19. Peter Daszak, who's one of the co-conspirators in the creation of SARS-CoV-2 with the EcoHealth Alliance, he got another NIH grant. Now he's working with Duke and Singapore, Duke University in Singapore, to create more infectious coronaviruses. He's actually written extensively on disease X. So disease X is basically the next COVID-19 pandemic. They know it's coming. And the whole purpose of this would be to create another vaccine that everybody has to take. Recently, in January of 2024, Anthony Fauci testified in Congress just a few days before me, and he finally admitted it. He said, yeah, the reason to create SARS-CoV-2 was to get to the vaccine.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the hits just keep coming from these people. And it's not just Tedros. You know, it's not just the World Health Organization. It's not just Fauci or Daszak, who says the next one is coming. It's Bill Gates, and he's very, very gleeful about it. Listen to this.
You know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is will get attention this time.
You know, that little smirk is called Duper's Delight. I don't know if you know that, but Duper's Delight, that's what that's called. And I think it's because he's in on it. He knows what's coming next and he's just delighted about it. Do you think I have that wrong? Maybe I have it wrong. Maybe he's just a good guy who cares about humanity.
No, he does look delighted. He is in the business of profiting from vaccines. He invests in vaccines and profit. His entrepreneurial spirit is very strong in the Gates Foundation. CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, a vaccine incubator founded by Gates and the World Economic Forum, they just finished over 100-page white paper on Disease X. With great enthusiasm, they are in the business of creating human misery, infections, and then mass vaccination.
Infections and mass vaccination. Oh, by the way, I'm sure you've noted that there's now a measles outbreak all over the country. Can we attribute that? Well, I don't know what we can attribute that to other than wide open borders. But what I was going to say is that everywhere Bill Gates and his vaccines seem to go, outbreaks seem to take place. Okay, let's look what's happened in India as he rolled out a vaccine meant to help people against polio. Polio broke out all over the country. Now they don't want Bill Gates to be let back into the country. I think the man is a eugenicist. By the way, his father was the former head of Planned Parenthood. So follow the bloodlines on that one. Guys, we only have Dr. Peter McCullough for 40 minutes today. We're down to the last 3 minutes. Doc, I appreciate you very much. I want to give you the last word. If you were in charge, if the words you're about to convey right now, right here, were heard by people at the highest levels and they had to take your marching orders, what are the marching orders?
I think job one right now is to pull all the vaccines off the market. That would be an executive order from Biden or Trump. Remember, whoever it is, Biden or Trump, they work for us anyway. They're our employees. They better start behaving like they're our employees. They're not kings. They don't preside over us. They don't stand over us and look at us like royal family. They're employees. So order, remove all the vaccines from the market immediately. Number two, drop the 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Act legislation. That means the liability shield falls for Pfizer and Moderna. They made billions upon billions of dollars without having the development costs or sales force costs. Now they're gonna have to pay out on vaccine injuries and disabilities and sadly deaths. I think the life insurance companies immediately ought to get the vaccine status on all the deaths from the CDC. And that way they can rate insurance. Vaccinated are going to have to pay higher life insurance. We should merge immediately the vaccine administration data and the National Death Index and do an evaluation to see what is the relationship to mortality. And merge immediately the vaccine administration data with the cancer registries, because now we have to worry about cancer patients potentially having reactivation or de novo cancer. So there's a lot of work to be done, but it has to do with data transparency, consumer product protection, and then having compensation for injuries and disabilities.
Yeah. Well, the final word I would say, and I'm sure you follow the work of Dr. William Makis out of Canada, he's following turbo cancers, you know, quite closely, this explosion of rare and returning cancers since 2020. Boy, nobody can put two and two together. Meanwhile, Pfizer wants to get into the cancer treatment business and just paid billions, tens of billions of dollars for a company in that area of research that's never had a successful product so far. But it's very important to Pfizer as turbo cancer explodes all over the world. Do you suppose it might be related to this thing they call a vaccine?
In a perverse way, that Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, AstraZeneca, Novavax, they're actually creating new markets of disease. And it's a very perverse way. So for them, the COVID-19 vaccines and their side effects are the gift that keeps giving to more pharmaceutical profits.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we part ways, we'll show your Twitter. Guys, more than 1 million followers. It's a good place to be. Dr. Peter McCullough. Doc, how else do people follow you? Any last websites? Anything else you want to share with the audience?
Well, go to my website, petermccullohmd.com. That'll take you everywhere. I'm also on, in addition to Twitter, top doctor account on Twitter. I have True Social, Getter, Telegram, Facebook. Go to my podcast, America Out Loud News, McCullough Report, every 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. Then it's on the Apple iHeart Podcast Network afterwards. I interviewed top people all over the world. My Substack, the leading medical Substack, Courageous Discourse Substack, all the all the papers I cited today are on the Substack, you know, late breaking information comes out daily. And then my book, Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalizations and Deaths While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, and I forgot to mention in your bio, also an author. Guys, the esteemed Dr. Peter McCullough has been our guest. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you. All
right, God bless you. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I'll remind you every single day for free, check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of those mockingbird, mainstream media, CIA lies, and the lies from the trolls and the troll armies. We're here to provide truth as we see it, and we're here to stand for truth and those who will stand with us for truth. People like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, and so many other good doctors who paid a heavy price to tell the truth and stand up against the FDA, the CDC, and the World Health Organization. And also Big Pharma, of course, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca. A pox on your house, all of you in Big Pharma who have peddled this bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. Guys, until next time, may God truly bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
A extremely precious and rare commodity, silver, is being consumed like it's going out of style. Nobody wants a world without silver, without readily available cheap silver. So they're going to keep rigging it to the very last days. And I think that's where we are, the very last days.